Hello and welcome to Oxcast. We've got lots of exciting events lined up for you this week, starting off with St Patrick's Day.
Yes, that's right. It's the most Irishy time of the year in Oxford, at the very least. And what exciting event have you got to make allow people to celebrate St Patrick's Day?
Well, St Patrick's Day itself is on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And on the day itself, it happens to coincide with the Half Moon's regular Irish folk night. So they do this every week.
Yes.
But it happens to be on Sunday, which is St Patrick's Day this week.
I do love the Half Moon, I have to say. It's such a tiny pub. If you've never been, absolutely go. It's at the bottom of St Clement's or the top of the High Street, depending on how you want to look at it. But it is a tiny little pub. They absolutely pack it with Oxford folk singers, locals, regulars, and they just have an absolutely fantastic evening of what I think the Irish probably call crack.
Absolutely. So it's from 8 p.m. onwards on Sunday, and you can rock up with your flute or your fiddle or whatever instrument you play, mm-hmm. and just listen or play along with folk musicians.
Good. That sounds fantastic. If you, if you want a little bit more space, if you feel that the Half Moon's a bit cramped for you, the evening before St Patrick's Day, the Oxford Irish Society, which I didn't even know existed, are hosting a St Patrick's Eve dance on the Saturday night.
At Cowley Conservative Ballroom Club, which I didn't know existed.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Does the Conservative refer to the politics or to the ballroom dancing? But anyway, they're going to have traditional Irish music and dancing, and hopefully lots of Guinness. So that's from 8:30 till 12:30 on Saturday, and and as I said before, tickets will only be £5.
Sounds good. And there's also the new theatre is being fairly Irishy going into next week, isn't that right?
Absolutely, on Wednesday night. Yeah, we've got the Dublin Legends, who are the surviving, such as they are, members of the Dubliners, probably the single most famous Irish folk band, after all, unless you count the Pogues. But they are celebrating their last year. They got a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Radio 2 Folk Awards, and they're celebrating with a new tour, despite the unfortunate, untimely death of one of the band's founding members last year. They're still keeping on trucking. They, like a wild rover, they're going to be coming to the dirty old town of Oxford. So I would recommend going along and listening. That's on Wednesday night.
Absolutely, 7:30, and tickets are £21 from ATG Tickets. It's also the Oxford Literary Festival.
Yes, indeed.
Starting on Saturday and going right the way through to the following Sunday, so that's the 24th.
Yep, 9 days of some of the best authors coming to peddle their wares all around. There's quite a selection of writers this time around, isn't there?
There are loads. People like, we've got some famous names, as Seamus Heaney and the Booker Prize winners Hilary Mantel and Julian Barnes and Ben O'Cree.
Oh, wow.
Yes, lots of people.
I've got a more populist list.
Yes.
There's also Anthony Horowitz, mm-hmm. Kate Moss, who wrote the award-winning, best-selling, anyway, Labyrinth and Sepulchre. And there's also Philip Pullman, who is receiving a Festivalship Honorary Fellow.
Good for him.
Yes. One of the events you might like to go and see is Alexander McCall Smith, who is now one of the best-selling writers in the world, would you believe, with books like The Number One Ladies Detective Agency. He will be talking at 3:30 p.m. on Saturday in the Sheldonian Theatre, and he'll be talking, amongst other things, about his new book, Trains and Lovers, which follows four people who meet on a train to Edinburgh and what happens afterwards. What about you? Any exciting events you'll be looking out for?
Well, I found one that looked really, really fun. Basically, there's this cartoonist called Hunt Emerson, mm-hmm. who has done an adaptation of Dante's Inferno in graphic novel style.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought would be amazing. That's a great medium to have that particular story in.
Dante's work is so vivid, isn't it? You know, the sort of three-headed hounds chewing on people. I can see that working really well as a comic strip.
Got a picture of the front cover, and it looks amazing. There are people's feet upside down burning in little holes in hell.
Oh, God. Now, who is it who gets put upside down in the holes? Because I believe that's the eighth circle, and all of them are categorised according to different sorts of sin, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, for example, the gluttons are sort of permanently starving and sort of in a sort of wasteland where there's nothing to eat and this sort of stuff. Cheery subject, obviously,
for a
cartoon. Although perhaps, as you say, he prefers graphic novelists.
Oh, obviously. Okay. But that looks very interesting. That is 2 p.m. on Tuesday the 19th, mm-hmm. and that's in Christchurch in Festival Room 2, and it costs £11.
Yes, there will be all of these tickets you can buy online, but they're also available in a big marquee that's been set up in Christchurch Meadow, and there will be all the books, obviously, on sale there. But to be honest, it has a great festival atmosphere. We're hoping to interview the director for next week's podcast. So hopefully we'll get some inside gossip from her. I've got another one, actually. It's John Ronson, who will be speaking on Saturday about his new book, which is called Lost at Sea. Now, I don't know if you know Ronson's writing, but it's all about journeys into the weird, basically. He interviews conspiracy theorists and psychopaths and secret agents and people like that. You've probably heard of his book, The Men Who Stare at Goats. The American military tried to make psychic spies, and it was just insane. Like, I've no idea how they made a film out of it, because
it's a really funny story.
Absolutely, yeah.
They take themselves very seriously, and some bits of it are very serious, but then it's also such a ludicrous concept.
Indeed. The title comes from the fact that, once again, I remind you, this is a real thing the American military really spent their taxpayers' money on. They had a division of so-called, you know, psychic warriors who were trying to kill people with their minds. So what they would do is they would sit in a room and stare at a goat and try to kill it with their minds. Why are they bothered when they have, you know, $1 billion worth of nukes and tanks and guns and that sort of thing? I don't
Sometimes
know.
Sometimes you have to just be quiet about it, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Silencers? Ever heard of them? This new book is called Lost at Sea. This one is a bit more of a sort of grab bag, I think. It's less about a particular theme, but it's more about sort of bizarre things that have happened to him. So he'll be talking about meeting real-life American superheroes. These are the people who dress up and patrol the streets in order to fight crime. He'll be talking about meeting UFO believers and a man who tried, and I believe succeeded, in splitting the atom, or at least performing some pretty dangerous radioactive experiments in his kitchen. But anyway, I would head along. This is in Corpus Christi College on Saturday at 6 p.m.
That sounds good. There's also an event called The Last Storytellers, Tales from the Heart of Morocco. And that's BBC journalist Richard Hamilton is recounting how he basically tracked down the last few remaining storytellers, like oral storytellers, in the Marrakesh Medina.
Oh, wow.
And it's kind of going along with the idea that the storytelling tradition might be fading out because of in the modern era, and so it's sort of trying to immortalize those stories. It feels like kind of ancient Greece and like the Homeric storytellers are dying out, and so we're writing it down finally. It feels like that. So I thought that sounded really interesting. And Hamilton obviously has done a lot of work with BBC World Service, and so he's very
interesting chap. Yeah.
And that is on Sunday, the 24th. And it's again in Christchurch at 12 noon, and that also costs £11.
Brilliant. Well, you can find full listing for all these things on www.oxfordliteraryfestival.org. There are hundreds of authors. We've got brilliant people like Paddy Ashdown talking, you know, that sort of thing. We will talk a bit more about some of our choice picks for Literary Festival next week.
There's also a whiskey tasting, by the way.
Something which I'm gutted not to be able to go to myself.
So it's not just about the literature, it's about the taste and the other senses.
There are banquets as well, I think. Yeah, it sounds great. Anyway, but for now, let's move on.
Absolutely, because there's yet another important sort of
milestone
happening this weekend. On Friday, it is the Phoenix Picture House's centenary. So they've been
100 years as a cinema.
God. They've been around for 100 years. Pretty amazing. So they're celebrating this, obviously, with a number of things. On Friday, they're having an exhibition, and that gives you a little tour through their history. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested, you can see how they started and how it got to what it is today. There's also live music, and there's a birthday cake, a huge birthday cake, apparently, which they are raffling off in aid of charity.
What about films, since it's the Phoenix?
They're celebrating with a number of things. So there are some previews, such as the new Studio Ghibli film from Up on Poppy Hill. There's another interesting film called a documentary called Side by Side, and it's Keanu Reeves is kind of taking you through it, I think, and it's about film again. So to
very
celebrate,
meta.
Yes, yeah. It's about these sort of old technology of film versus the new technology of film, so celluloid versus digital,
right?
And whether it's a mixed blessing that we've moved on technologically, whether there are things that you could do with celluloid or atmospheres you could create that you can't with the new techniques, that kind of thing. So that could be very interesting. I think generally the opinion is that it's good that we can now have special effects.
Well, I don't know. You know, I never feel that CGI is quite as cool to me as when I saw Jurassic Park for the first time.
Yeah.
Now, those dinosaurs, which were, of course, some of them were CGI, but a great number of them were just models.
Yes.
And to me, those will always remain the single scariest thing ever. I think I spent about 10 years of my childhood in fear of raptors.
Can imagine that the locker room scene.
Exactly,
scary.
Absolutely crazy. Anyway,
there's also a satellite Q&A with Ken Loach, so his director, about his new film, The Spirit of 45, and that's about it's a documentary again, and it's using rarely seen archive footage and recordings to chronicle the events of 1945, where the government in Britain was trying to rally the economy and people. After the battering of the Second World War.
That sounds all very interesting, I have to say. So there's undoubtedly lots more exciting things on at the Phoenix.
And you can find details on the Phoenix website for all of those things.
Brilliant. Well, we've got some conventional theatre for those boring old-fashioned people who don't like looking at a screen. We've got Under Milk Wood, which is on this Friday and Saturday at the Playhouse. It's a new version of the classic Play for Voices by Dylan Thomas, set, of course, in the fictional Welsh village of Laragub, which Thomas based closely on his own hometown. Now, do you know if Laragub means anything in Welsh?
I don't know.
As it happens, no. Laragub isn't even a Welsh word. It's actually a backward spelling of the words that Thomas felt best summed up his hometown, bugger all. But this is a modern update, changed to reflect the economic challenges of today's world. It's also by a group of young actors. They're the 16 to 22 company. Can you guess how old they all are?
Oh, are they maybe 16 to 22?
That's very astute. You're very good today, Emma.
I'm on the ball today.
Yeah. Well, it does sound a little bit like it could be very terribly earnest. But on the other hand, it is a brilliant play, and they're all very talented young Oxfordshire actors. So I'd expect it, at the very least, to be very innovative, very exciting. So that's on, as I said, Friday and Saturday at the Oxford Playhouse.
Sounds great. There's another thing we wanted to mention, which is a campaign which is being launched by author Megan Kerr.
Yeah.
And it's called the Thanking Author Campaign, and she's encouraging people basically to write letters of thanks to authors whose books they've particularly enjoyed, they've read recently. There's a Facebook page about it where you can read more about it. It's facebook.com/writingcourses, and and that will sort of give you advice on how to send off letters and the sort of ethos behind this campaign.
I think it's a fantastic idea, especially when we've got the Oxford Literary Festival in town. It's a brilliant reminder, I think, that most authors do not get to be, you know, big, successful, giving talks in the Sheldonian. Most authors are just sort of quietly slaving away, selling 500 or 1,000 copies.
And yet their books can still touch people. And I imagine they'd be very pleased to get feedback.
Absolutely. It's such a solitary profession, isn't it, writing? Classically, famously, you know, you're sort of cut off and you don't get to see the impact of your books touching people. But this is an attempt to, for a whole month of March, to say to people, if you read a book during March and you enjoy it, maybe if you don't enjoy it, write a letter. And as I said, Megan is giving all this info about how to contact publishers and agents and that sort of thing, and get your letters into the hands of the author who touched you, as it were.
And I think we've got one more event, haven't we?
That's right. It's on Monday. It's a sort of comedy talk, and it's called The Price of Everything. It's a discussion about what we value in our society. So that's on Monday. It's at the Oxford Playhouse. And go along if you're interested in learning how to buy an air guitar. And that's all the events we've got for this week. Before we go, though, we just do want to mention one more thing.
Very important thing, which is our Easter competition.
That's right. It's a chance to win some fantastic prizes. Daily Info is running an Easter egg hunt for you. Go to our website, dailyinfo.co.uk, and you can spot the locations of various Easter eggs hidden around Oxford, and we have some great prizes to be won, don't we?
And some of the pictures are quite tricky, so you have to use your brain.
It is. I personally never would have got most of them, but that just shows the warped...
You can work for your Easter eggs. You have to work for the chocolate.
Exactly, yeah. Warped and twisted minds that go into it. And we also have tickets to be won to Blenheim Palace if you don't fancy chocolate.
So that's all from us for this week.
That's right. Don't forget to, if you want more information on any of the events we've mentioned or other things going on in Oxfordshire, do visit our website, www.dailyinfo.co.uk.
And you can also see us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Daily Info Oxford.